Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
There, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back. CBS Sports I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black, the I Own College Basketball Podcast. And of course, it's presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching live on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You obviously have consent. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel, I sure would appreciate it if you did that while you're here. Let's get into it. We're going to start this episode with UConn. As you likely know, it was 22 days ago, time flies, huh? When Dan Hurley's Huskies won a 12th straight game in the NCAA tournament by double digits to secure a second straight national championship. Incredible stuff. Gone from that team, Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Donovan Klingon, Stephon Castle. That's four starters. Obviously a lot to lose, but in the 3 weeks since the season has ended, Dan Hurley and his staff, they've added the type of pieces that should make UConn a legitimate threat to three-peat as national champions. They got Terrace Reed from Michigan. He just started 31 games for the Wolverines, former top 40 recruit, class of 2022. They got Liam McNeely, a five-star prospect, ranked 18th in the class of 2024. That's according to 24/7 Sports. And then, of course, on Monday, they added Aide Mahaney, the all-WCC guard from St. Mary's. So now UConn is set likely to return five of its top nine scorers, one starter, five of its top nine scorers, and combine it with Aide Mahaney, Terrace Reed, Liam McNeely, and two other top 100 recruits from the class of 2024. Norlander, first question, just to keep, with tradition here on the I Own College Basketball Podcast, as we sit here right now, Is it clear to you that UConn should be ranked ahead of Purdue?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yes.
It's clear. It's clear. It's clear to me too.
Oh, it's clear to you. I'm glad that you've seen the light.
It's clear to me too.
Did you just drop a five of the top nine, by the way?
I think you're nine.
Okay. So, and with that, he's including Hassan Diarra, who will return and play point. Samson Johnson, solo ball. Solo ball averaged 11 and a half minutes. Keep an eye on him. I think he's got real good potential to break out next season. And then are you including Jalen Stewart in that as well?
I believe.
Yeah. I mean, he only averaged 2.5 points. So, solo ball didn't even average more than 3.5 points per game. So they will be bigger producers, but they're not returning as established guys. So should be a little bit clearer on that. But I get what you're saying.
Of the top nine scorers on UConn last season, this past season, five of them are set to return. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how that was confusing.
Okay. Are you ready to declare Solo Ball will be a 13 mile American?
No, I can't go there yet. And obviously with Alex Karabin, we got a decision to make. He's in the draft. He's maintained his college eligibility. He's one of those guys who could, like, listen, there's no wrong decision. He can reasonably enter the NBA draft and stay in it and probably, or at least possibly, get selected, or he could come back to UConn and try to win a third straight national championship. Yeah. I have him projected as back for now, but as always, we'll see. I'm gonna leave it. You know what? If you don't mind, I'm gonna leave that up to him.
But we can speculate on it. Here's everything with Karabin. One, my opinion is that he will get drafted if he stays in. Now, the tricky part is, like, would he get drafted 37th or would he get drafted 51st? And if he comes back, personally, I will have him somewhere in the, I don't know, 11 to 20 range overall when we do our list of the top 101 players in the sport. Like, I'll have him in there. He will be in contention to be a preseason All-American, as he should be. Interesting thing about Karabin is he's going to have largely a whole new set of characters to play alongside of after winning. You know, he has two national titles already. Like, it's a fascinating decision because he was the fifth leading scorer as a freshman. He was the third leading scorer last season. And he would be set up to be UConn's leading scorer potentially, and could help his draft stock all the more. But I think he could go as high as, say, 25 or as low as, say, 50, 52 or something like that. So he is an interesting one. And UConn is now, I reported this on Monday, UConn is in the wait and see mode. It's on Karabin watch, basically to see what he's going to do. Dan Hurley has not used up all of his scholarships, but also will not do that. He didn't do it last year. It's a practice that you see more and more because, frankly, you know, once you get down to scholarship number 12 and scholarship number 13, there's only so many minutes to go around, and having one less person who might be griping over minutes isn't the worst thing for a staff there. So they wait on Karabin, and we'll get to this guy more when we talk Kentucky. But just to clarify, because UConn fans, I think we're waiting to see if we had more. Mahaney committing on Monday publicly, he had vocalized to the staff that he was doing that before Monday. But that's why Kobe Brea is not going to be a Husky. They aren't even recruiting him anymore. And so what you have here is Samson Johnson or Terrace Reed starting at the five. It'll be Karabin at the four if he returns. If not, Jalen Stewart. Or that's where, you know, guys who are flirting with staying or going in the NBA draft. Like, if Karabin stays in the draft, then I think you will see UConn go and try and get another portal four man. At the three, McNeely, Jaden Ross, sophomore, Isaiah Abraham, who's an incoming freshman. They can all play the three. There's a lot of interchangeable stuff with the way UConn runs its offense, but I'm trying to, you know, put these guys in buckets, GP. And then Solo Ball at the two, along with freshman Ahmad Noel. And then you've got Diarra and Mahaney. Mahaney can play the one or the two. It's a good pickup, by the way. Mahaney was one of the bigger names. I'm not as high on him as some. Good player, a lot of fun potential. He was a mini revelation at St. Mary's as a freshman. And then last season, he was good, but he did not take the jump that many expected him to take. Stagnated just a little bit. And now a guy who grew up just down the road from St. Mary's dreaming to play for Randy Bennett, he's going to fly across the country and completely change his scene and surroundings there and step into a program that's the best one in the sport. And he will be tasked with a lot. He won't be asked to absolutely run UConn's offense, but he'll have the ball in his hands plenty. You can argue that he plays and thrives just as much off ball as he does on, but it's a big get unquestionably for Dan Hurley and his program there. UConn right now, I know you've got him there. That roster, to me, if Karabin's there, that roster is unquestionably top five heading into the season. If you take him off, it might be depending on who they'd get in the portal to play that power forward spot. But overall, McNeely is a huge, huge get. And they've restocked well. And as I half joked on Monday after Mahaney committed, the Dan Hurley portal updates, I'm sitting here in agony. I'm lying on the floor like, this is done. Although I was told that we should probably expect at least one more, you know, later this week for whatever reason. So just keep that in mind as well.
I have UConn up to number four in the top 25 and one as of this morning with the addition of Aiden Mahaney. If I'm being honest, if you just stripped away the name UConn and stripped away Dan Hurley and just showed me the roster, I don't think that's the fourth best roster in the country. But
yeah, but I'm putting in you, as I know you are too, GP. It's Hurley, and he has that staff can now claim to be the best staff in the country. So you put all of that together. But I will say this and then take it away. Mahaney is his role will probably be similar to Cam Spencer, but they are not the same player. And Mahaney, at least not yet, he's not walking in cock of the walk the way Cam Spencer did last summer when they realized once he got on campus just who they had. So just keep that in mind, UConn fans. Like, he's going to be a good player, but he's not going to do and be asked to do the same things and doesn't have the same kind of mentality and makeup as Spencer.
He's not going to walk in like what?
Like cock of the walk. What?
Define that for me.
You're not familiar with the phrase?
Cock walking?
No, the cock of the walk.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Please.
Really? You really?
No,
anyone
I'm not
in the live
joking.
Chat? Anyone in the live chat ever heard
I don't
of the
know
phrase?
I've ever heard that. Tell me what it means.
It just means, you know, someone who's, you know, very, very confident and is stands out amongst a group and is, you know, kind of strutting their stuff. You've never
Anthony
heard
Edwards.
This?
That's Anthony Edwards.
It's very much Anthony Edwards, yes.
Okay.
It absolutely is Anthony Edwards.
And okay.
I'm here to tell you Aiden Mahaney will not be Anthony Edwards. That's what I can't.
Aiden Mahaney, not Anthony Edwards. Tweet that.
Correct. Yes.
just tweet that without no context.
How about you tweet it for once? How about you? No context. How about you tweet it for once?
I stopped tweeting. I don't tweet anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm over it. It's so ugly. That For You tab ruined it for me. Man, I wake up every morning not knowing what on earth is going on in the world because of that For You tab. It's too much. I don't think this roster is a top four roster as currently constructed in the sport, but like it's Dan Hurley and it's UConn, so whatever. I'm just gonna believe that they know what they're doing because they seem to know what they're doing. Let me ask you this: are the Mahaney and Brea recruitments connected? Do you have to move off of Brea to secure the commitment from Mahaney?
Yeah, right. They are connected. I think they're connected from UConn's perspective and what Mahaney's going to provide and not having another. Plus, I think Brea, understandably so, like he was third overall in 3-point accuracy last season, but no one took more threes and made a higher percentage of them than him. And so it was Mahaney over Brea. Yeah, there wasn't going to be two. I'm not going to give you the name, but there was another player that was actually scheduled to visit UConn. And even that visit got canceled because on account of them.
Oh, give me the name. Give me the name. Give us the name. Give us the name.
Can't give me the name.
Oh, boo. Yeah. Boo. I text Rothstein. He's going to give me the name. He'll give us the name.
Okay.
So I that makes sense to me then. If you got to take one or the other, I would take Aid Mahaney over Kobe Brea. I'd love to have them both. But if you're saying you can't secure Mahaney without moving off, then I would have done the same thing. So we'll see where they go from here. Obviously, Carabin's decision is going to loom large, but I'm just at a point where I'm going to I'm going to have UConn in the top 10 no matter what, and in the top five if Carabin's back, and they're going to be among the favorites, perhaps not the favorite to win the national championship. Kansas right now is the favorite at FanDuel at plus 1,000, but UConn's right there in the conversation, and so I don't think there's any getting around this. We spent so much time last season talking about UConn is best positioned, perhaps better positioned than anybody in the past X amount of years to repeat since Florida in 2006 and 2007. Well, Florida in 2008 was not equipped to try to three-peat. They lost everything and didn't add enough stuff to compete for that type of thing. UConn, no matter what happens going forward, do you agree with this? UConn is going to be in a position to realistically dream about winning a third straight NCAA tournament. That's going to be on the table no matter what.
I think it should fairly be considered on the table heading into the season. There's a lot of other portal decisions that are going to impact and influence, obviously, where you wind up slotting teams in your preseason / offseason top 10. But with this group, and I think Caravan is the key, it's fair to say that you got to see, you know, Ball, Stewart, Ross, these sophomores that I think will have a chance to really step up and shine. But heading in, it's fair to say that this roster is not as good as the other two that won national championships. And that's totally, by the way, last season's roster is one of the best teams in the past like 4 or 5 decades. And the one before that was also super, super good with established studs on it. And, you know, for me, it's like Adama Sanogo and then Donovan Klingon. Like, now you're going to ask either Terrace Reed and or Samson Johnson to be able to try and get close to representing and replicating what those guys, like, that's a huge, huge ask. So it's in the discussion. Not going to see UConn getting to preseason number one status, and there's nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean they can't eventually get there. Just more pieces that need to prove themselves. And if anything, as you said before, the team's been being given the benefit of the doubt and maybe getting slotted up an extra 2, 4, 6 spots because it has Hurley and it has that staff.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame any human. In fact, I think Eamon Brennan, our buddy Eamon Brennan, when he published a preseason top 25, he just put UConn number one and said, like, argue with me. You know, like, really, you think this is stupid? It seems like the smartest thing you could do. And I understand that logic. I do not think UConn will get to preseason number one. I don't think UConn's roster can match Kansas's roster right now. And I don't think it's going to get to a point where it can match Kansas's roster. Kansas, I believe, is going to be the preseason number one. I don't see how anybody can catch them. I don't want to say that. We'll see. But I'd be surprised if anybody caught them from a roster perspective. So I'm assuming Kansas will be number one, but UConn's going to be right there with them. And to your point about the rosters, comparing them to recent years, like last year, they did lose a lot, 3 starters, but they were bringing back Tristan Newton, who was better than any returning guard, at least statistically in all the ways, than any returning guard they're bringing back this year. And they were bringing back Klingon, who was, you know, a projected top 10 pick, now maybe going to be a top 5 pick. They're not bringing back that kind of front court player. So they're not bringing back as much. And, you know, we'll see about what they've added. But the thing I think is important to remember about this roster that Dan is going to take into next season is, who thought Cam Spencer was Cam Spencer this time last year? Like, who thought Tristan Newton was going to make the jump from whatever he was to first team All-American? So there's some real internal stuff going on there that I think elevates individuals across the board. And I know that the number I threw out earlier, 5 of the top 9, might not mean a lot to some, because most of those guys were very minimal role players, or at least some of those guys were minimal role players. But there's some development stuff happening in that program where guys are taking jumps year after year and growing into roles as they're needed. And I'm assuming that's going to happen again at UConn next season.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption to have. And intriguing team, fascinating, good for the sport to have the 2-time reigning champions be able to reload in a lot of ways. And Mahaney joining the roster, I think, is really, really fascinating. And to see if he can make a jump and really get to that place where he is, you know, potentially a top 10 to 15 guard in America, which was the expectation after his freshman season. He did not come close to getting to that this past season. That'll be one to watch. And they are reloaded. And now we just wait on Caravan. And that'll probably be a few weeks here as he goes through the pre-draft process. He's going to work out with a number of teams and then decide, does he want to for sure just be... I cannot see how he doesn't get drafted personally. It would be stunning to me if he wasn't picked. However, there's a real case to be made that if he does come back and does turn into an All-American, he will go even higher and be a surefire first-round pick next year. And if that were the case, there's obviously a lot to be said that. So keep an eye and wait on that. I would think mid-May at the earliest on Caravan's decision.
Let's move to some other transfer news. Been busy in the sport. Kentucky, Arkansas, Michigan all have added high-profile transfers already this week. And it's only Tuesday. Three big programs. They got 3 new coaches who just moved to campus within the past month or so. All of them getting work done in the transfer portal. We'll touch on that next. First, though, a word from our partners.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV, the CBS Sports app, and streaming on Paramount+.
So Mark Pope is at Kentucky, John Calipari is at Arkansas, Dusty May is at Michigan. Three big programs, three new coaches. They're all getting work done in the transfer portal. Just yesterday, Michigan added Vlad Golden from FAU. You probably can make that connection, connect those dots. Arkansas just added Jonas Adu from Tennessee, and Kentucky has added Andrew Carr from Wake Forest with more to come. Here's my question for you. On opening day of this season, and I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait.
You can, and you will.
2024-25 season, opening day. Who's going to have the best roster? Dusty May at Michigan, John Calipari, Arkansas, or Mark Pope at Kentucky?
What kind of question is this? Arkansas has four players right now.
Okay. I didn't say who's got the best roster right now. Come on. Use your big brain. Tell me. Where is this thing headed?
All right. Here's what we got. Right now, Kentucky has...
Kentucky, I gather. This is what I gather. Michigan fans are excited.
Yeah.
Arkansas fans are excited. Kentucky fans are cautiously optimistic. Is that
I think they're getting more excited because, as I reported Monday, with Brea not going to UConn, Kentucky should be getting Kobe Brea. If Kentucky does not land Kobe Brea by the end of the day, he's on his official visit right now. Like, something went drastically wrong because Kentucky's now the only school recruiting him. And so basically, if Kentucky doesn't get Kobe Brea, that will mean that either Brea or someone representing him sought out another school looking for a huge NIL payday, and he's already going to be able to get paid.
Call Arizona State. I'd call the Sun Devils. I'm a Sun Devil.
How about that, though? How about that? Arizona State landing out of nowhere, speaking of Kentucky, because at one point, Kentucky was going to go fly and see Jaden Quaintance, who was a previous Kentucky commit. Five-star prospect, power forward. He committed to, speaking of the Hurleys, I mean, he committed to Bobby Hurley in Arizona State.
Which is hilarious, by the way, because Dan Hurley just did an interview like 2 weeks ago explaining in great detail how he would never do this type of deal. And then Bobby Hurley's like, give me the five-star freshman.
I know.
Bring him to me.
And I think Quaintance is young enough where he's going to have to
2 years.
2 years away from being in the draft.
Yep.
So if he's a really, really good player, that's good news for Bobby Hurley, Arizona State, moving into the Big 12, oh, by the way, and getting Quaintance. Also, I don't know how much he's paying, but allegedly a humongous number NIL-wise attached to a Quaintance. So good job on Bobby Hurley for getting that done. That was also another headline earlier this week. So Brea should go to Kentucky, and if that happens, I think that's a major boon to get closer to answering your question here, because right now Kentucky has Amari Williams, who I think is a quality big man from Drexel, Andrew Carr from Wake Forest, who is a stretch four, 6'10". He was pretty good piece at Wake Forest last season. You know, Hunter Salas was a key guy there. Efton Reed was a huge guy there. Carr was... if you're a Wake fan, it wasn't lost in the mix. But, like, you know, if you weren't dialed into Wake Forest, you probably didn't know who Andrew Carr was. But he's considered to be a pretty good ad for Pope in Kentucky. Otega Owe from Oklahoma. Colin Chandler's coming in after a two-year mission. So he's, you know, this 20-year-old freshman who was in the top 40 of his recruiting class. Lamont Butler, defensive specialist, will play the point. And then Travis Perry, who's a homegrown kid and should probably get some real minutes there. He's on the roster. So they wait on Brea. Great Osabor just finished his official visit, the Utah State transfer, and now he's going to go to Louisville and then Texas Tech, and then he'll wrap up with Washington. Danny Sprinkle coached Grant Osborne at Montana State and Utah State, so Washington considered the favorite on the outside looking in here, but if it's not Washington, I think it'll be Kentucky. And then if Jackson Robinson, who is testing the draft waters, if he decides to come back to college, I would expect Jackson Robinson, who played for Pope at BYU, I would full on expect him to go to Kentucky. And that's a pretty good start there. Arkansas, I reported Monday night, Jonas Adu is going there. So that's a good add. But Arkansas, it's Adu, Big Z, and then three of the five freshmen that were going to Kentucky under Cal. We wait on other portal additions. I think the biggest name that people are waiting on is if and when Janelle Davis from FAU chooses to play for Cal at Arkansas. He's a highly rated transfer, obviously considered to be a top 5 to 10 name on the board in the transfer cycle this season. That would be big. Will John Calipari be able to recruit a roster that matches what Kentucky has? I think there's a real chance for it, but it is interesting to see Cal at Arkansas and Pope and Kentucky in general kind of put the race on here with the portal, trying to get names. The portal, by the way, closes tomorrow at midnight. So we are, I don't know, GP, what are we, like 38 hours or so away from this thing closing there. Who will have the best roster on opening day? I guess I'd lean Kentucky, although I like Michigan a lot. I do. It's got Vlad Golden at the five. Danny Wolf, who I saw play at Yale, Danny Wolf, man. He's a player, really a smart, great passing, big man, has a real chance there. Sam Walters from Bama. I mean, you can go down the roster if you want, GP, but like Roddy Gale, Namari Burnett's back, Trey Donaldson from Auburn, Will Cheddar's back. I really like the Michigan roster, and it's better than the other two right now, but I think when we get to the end of the finish line, I think Kentucky will have the best roster, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Michigan's is the best right now. They've added, I believe, six transfers. Now, there was some, tell me if you remember this. I remember seeing it and then I bookmarked it and then I probably deleted it and whatever. But somebody had looked at schools that had enrolled in advance of last season, like seven plus, I think that was maybe the number,
okay,
transfers. And it was like, these are the X amount of school. These are the X number of schools that enrolled at least seven Division I transfers. And it was like Arkansas and some other teams, and they were largely not good. And so I guess the lesson in there, small sample size and all that, but the lesson in there was, roster continuity is still matters in the sport, and just taking a bunch of new guys. Like you could take three, four, five, maybe even six new guys, but once you get to seven, it gets complicated. And like, maybe there's some truth in that, but as it pertains to Michigan, like when you're a new coach at a new school, it almost doesn't matter what the data says. You just got to go fill up a roster.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta, every single team we're talking about here, I know you're talking about that, but all these teams will have seven plus new guys on the roster.
Right. I don't mean just new guys. It's not just new guys like high school prospects. It was defined as transfers, okay, seven plus Division I transfers. And so I get, like, in a perfect world, if you're running a program heading into year four, you'd rather not be in a position where you need to take seven plus transfers, because small sample size, sure, but it suggests that that's not the best way to do this. But when you are Dusty or Mark or John at these new places and the entire rosters were just gone, then this is perhaps not the only way, but I think the best way to build a roster overnight. And that's what each of these guys are already doing. I won't be surprised if all three ultimately land in the preseason top 25. I would bet that at least one of them will. Michigan seems on its way right now. So
you don't have them there yet, right?
No, I do not have them there yet. But like if somebody else did or somebody else had them close, I don't think it's crazy.
I think there's a case, although I'm probably higher on them than some. I don't know. Reuben Jones is a good point guard they got from North Texas. Like Trey Donaldson, and the fact that like they got Trey Donaldson from Auburn and he's the fifth transfer of note, that there's a lot of depth in their class, Parrish. And Golden and Wolf are two different kinds of bigs. And so I actually think that you can play with both of them. That'll be an interesting thing to watch with Michigan. And Jace Howard's still on the roster, by the way. Now we'll see if there's any more any more transfers out. George Washington III, who was on the roster, he went in the portal Monday. So I don't know. We'll see. I think Michigan's got a case. I do think when you get to the end of May or whenever it is, like, I do think you'll have Kentucky in the top 20, I think. But that's with the idea that they're getting Brea, and then they get Jackson Robinson if he comes back, and then they'll probably get one other really notable name in the portal, maybe someone who's flirting with the draft process but ultimately comes back there. Arkansas, to me, let's focus in on them real quick. Adu's a big one. Adu was considered a Baylor lean for about 2 weeks. He considered Baylor, Carolina, and Arkansas. Apparently, and listen, go get the cash, man. I don't care. But the word on the street was Adu's NIL price was quite hefty there. And listen, two and two together, Arkansas is working with one of the deepest war chests that's out there now. And so for Cal and his staff to be able to get a really, like, he's a different kind of big than Zvonimir Visic. Those are the two college players that have committed. And then the other three are all incoming freshmen that were in Cal's class that was going to Kentucky. I am very intrigued just to see how he builds the roster, man. Because he's only going to have three freshmen, and everyone else is going to be in the portal. It to me, this is one of the most interesting storylines of the offseason. It's just, what will Arkansas look like under Cal, and where does that roster land when we look up 4 or 6 weeks from now? Because you know they're going to get guys, they're going to get names, but how it all comes together will be interesting. Adu is a big one, no doubt about it. Tennessee fans, I saw, were a little bit salty over that. Some intra-SEC movement, I get all that. But Adu, I truly thought, was like one of the 5 to 10 best defensive big men in the country last season. And that's a key important anchor and a very different kind of player than Big Z as well. What are your thoughts on Arkansas and Cal? And I don't know, expectations of how much you think he'll beef up the roster?
I mean, a lot. Because he has to. And
no, but I'm talking like, do you think that we will get to our offseason Arkansas shoot around episode, and we're going to talk about a team that Calipari has been able to recruit at like top 15 level? I'm not sure we're going to get there, which, you know, it's not sky is falling stuff by any means, but it would be intriguing if that was the case, if Cal got the Arkansas job and then you look up and they're like, okay, let's just kind of wait and see. And if there's more mystery to it than some Arkansas fans might have thought a few weeks ago.
I think he'll have one of the 20 best rosters in the country by the time we get to opening day. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but if you just blindly say that about John Calipari for like the past, you know, nearly 20 years, you're going to end up on the right side.
True, but most of those were freshman oriented. This one will not be. That's why it's interesting to me.
He's still going to have He's still going to have one of the best freshman classes in the country. Although freshman classes don't mean as much as they used to, obviously.
Yes.
First, you said something. Tennessee fans upset about interconference. Like, if you're a fan upset about any movement at this point, you're just like a weirdo. Like, it used to be a point where I remember when a coach would change jobs and take recruits with him. That was like, can you believe that scoundrel? And now it's like they called scoundrels. They would get called scoundrels.
This was back in 1942, by the way.
It was in 1942. I was in my second year at the Commercial Appeal, and coach would change jobs, and then he would like maybe take a recruit with him that had signed with this school. And
yeah, he's a real wise guy. Yeah, yeah. We hate him. Yeah.
And they would say, that fella's a scoundrel. That's what they would say about coaches. They say, that fella is a scoundrel. But now people don't even say that. Have you heard anybody call Dusty May a scoundrel?
I have not. I haven't heard a scoundrel reference in this sport for ages. No.
Nobody's out there calling Dusty May a scoundrel. So, like, shut up. If you're worried about, I think it's wrong for a young man to move from Tennessee to Arkansas. Like, shut up. It's everything's in play now. Nothing's wrong anymore. There's no more wrongs. Agreed. Do whatever you want to. Everything's on the board. Beyond that, I've caught myself saying things like this as well lately. I probably did it with Jaden Quintance recently, talking about NIL, and it sounds like it's a money deal. Why wouldn't it be a money deal? Like,
It is often the money deal.
Like, here's my point. When you hear like Danny Sprinkle's involved at Washington, nobody's next comment is, sounds like that could be a money deal. You know, nobody says that. It's just like, well, of course it's a money deal. He's exploring professional opportunities. When any of us explore professional opportunities, the money is a component of it. Any of us. And so I hear what you're saying with Adu, and this is going on all over the country right now. And some fans are, I get it. The money is a part of it, and it's worth talking about. I don't object to anybody talking about it, but I sort of roll my eyes when people act like, can you believe this is a money deal? Stop thinking of college basketball and think about these as young people with job opportunities. That's it. They're just turning in resumes to different places and getting offers. And like Norlander, when you graduated college, what your first career attempts were, but I imagine on some level, like you were hoping to get offers, and the bigger, the better, and the bigger one might be the one you take, just because that's what most Americans do, is take the biggest offer to do whatever job they're asked to do. So I don't have any issue with a five-star freshman or a three-year transfer or anybody in between. Actually jumping into the portal to entice offers and then playing them against each other and trying to get the biggest and the best. And then if that's where you ultimately go, that just makes you like most people in this country. And I wish we could get away, not you and I, but just people broadly speaking, away from like shaming that in some way, as if these young people are doing anything differently than you or I or most people do.
Yeah, no, it's part of it now. I mean, this just is what it is. It's leading to just an outrageous amount of consternation behind the scenes, because there was a lot of stuff that we're not going to go down this road right now, but that this portal cycle has led to.
Oh, I had one coach the other day tell me,
screaming at the brick walls before.
I had one coach.
I get it.
Coaches are, I don't think they're actually ready to like, I'm done with this, but they say it and they feel it. I don't know that how many will actually do it, but there are a lot of coaches out there. I'm sure you talk to them as well, who are like, I am not enjoying my life right now. This is not fun. This is not what I,
and that's by the way, that's a fair feeling to have. Like it's,
oh, of course, you know,
because by the way, a lot of these coaches, they're assistant coaches and they're not millionaires. And some of them that are tasked with doing this at the mid-major level aren't even making six figures. So like it's very, very real. I had one coach tell me that they were dealing with the parents of another player, and basically the parents were like, they were just really, really hard to deal with, and complaining about one player making an IL over another. And the coach was like, hey, just so you know, like this player makes three times what I do. So like, you know, what are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
By the way, is another one of those things that when you hear a college coach say, my players make three times what I make, it sounds crazy. But like, if we are on the verge of making this professional sports, and for all intents and purposes, it is a professional sports. Do you know what happens in every professional sport? The players make more money than the coaches.
For the most part, yes. For the most part, yeah.
I mean, not every player. Like a rookie is not making more than Greg.
Well, in basketball specifically, that is the case.
Like, Patrick Mahomes makes more money than Andy Reid. That's my point.
Right, but the starting left tackle for the Chiefs does not make more than Andy Reid.
I know, but it's not. It's not like when you hear college coaches or fans sometimes say, can you believe the player might be making more than the coach? Like, that sounds crazy, but it's not crazy. That is true in every professional sport. Some player is going to make more than some coach.
Yeah, it's been basically the way it was laid out to me was, you know, 2-3 years ago, this was wild, but everyone was like getting used to it and whatever. And then last year it was twice as wild as the year before. And this year it's twice as wild as last year with the amount of people involved and just, you know, players having agents find coaching staffs and be like, hey, I got a guy for you. He's your guy. And then they'll say a name and they'll say it's going to be 400 for him. And they're like, I don't even know this player. What are his stats? So it's the idea that like players are, you know, seeking to go to different schools, and their agents are looking to get them at different places. And these coaches are like, it's $450,000 to even get it at the table with a player that averaged 4 points and 3.2 rebounds. Like what are we talking about? Like what? So, hey, chase the money all you want, but it has caused a lot of consternation. And by the way, again, the feelings from coaches are completely validated. They need to have a better system than this. That is undeniable. This system is not healthy for everyone involved. It's just not. It is not a healthy way of doing this. And there was a report Monday from Pete Thamel and Dan Murphy from ESPN. Although this is not new. This has been being talked about for a while now. I think it's kind of getting some renewed life here because you're having like some of these conferences are having meetings and ADs are talking, but they're basically trying to figure out a way to have, you know, a way to be able to pay players to play college sports. And we're still a ways from that. Like it's still way down the road, but it was a notable headline that popped up on Monday night, and we'll get there eventually. But this will burn people out, and it will send coaches fleeing from the profession. Just as one example, Dan Muller, who was a former coach at Illinois State, happens to be a huge Chicago Bears fan. So we were talking a few days ago just about the draft and all this stuff. And I just asked him, I was like, hey, are you done? He's like, man, I want nothing to do with that sport right now. He's like, never say never, but he's got a consulting business. He's living outside of Nashville. He's loving his life. He got to be a head coach for close to a decade and, you know, was a high major assistant for a long time. But he's like, are you kidding me? You think I want to go back into that right now? Because he still has obviously tons of friends who are still coaches. He's like, I got no interest in doing any of that. Right. So you will, if this does not improve, you will see more of this. And that actually does have downstream effects. There is a brain drain where if you are getting people who are 27, 30, 34, 38 years old, who would be eventually promising head coaches, but they are so torn up and pushed out by this stuff because the process of trying to build rosters and deal with the portal is so taxing, then you can't feel it in the moment, but you'll feel it down the way. You just will. Like you're gonna push more coaches out. You'll push more coaches out earlier than expected. You know, the biggest names that we know, we've already seen some of this. It'll still continue to happen. I can't tell you how many head coaches have told me in the past 12 months, you will not find me doing this, you know, X number of years from now. You will not find me I will not be a head coach at 65 years old. I mean, I've had Ed Cooley tell me multiple times, if you see me coaching past the age of like 60, you know, you can tell me to go F myself. So just, you know, we kind of went off on an unexpected tangent here, GP, but that's a major, major thing out there. And it's all the more timely and newsworthy here because again, the portal will officially close for anyone that wants to enter by tomorrow night at midnight. And then obviously the players, once they're in the portal, they can take however long they feel they need to decide on where they're going. But I would expect one last push, one last gush, one last wave of notable names here now that they're up against it. And then, yeah, we'll see who's in there. We'll see whether Arkansas, Kentucky, and others can continue to build on their rosters. Because that, you know, this is the free agency period. And I'm getting a text right now that, hold on, this is just break. Hold on, I'm getting a text. Okay, I'm not going to.
Congrats on getting a text.
That's news related, but I don't know if I can go with it.
Norlander once again.
Sorry, I got it in real time.
Telling us something without actually telling us anything.
Sorry, if I can give it to you right now, whatever.
Give it to me right now.
Okay, it says Brad. I don't know what it's a Brad text. I don't know what this means though. So we'll see if I can go. Anyway, that's that. Anything else we can wrap on? RJ Davis, I reported a week ago he was staying. He still hasn't announced. I think that's happening today.
Yeah, we always assumed RJ Davis is staying. Like, where is he going?
I know. Well, I think RJ there was Davis just like, could he get a
G League?
Well, there was, you know, he was a top five player.
God, he's good, but the NBA doesn't want him. So where is he going? It's like Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson. What's he going to do? I don't know. Go play for the Memphis Hustle or make a lot of money at Kansas? Oh, let me guess. I guess he'll probably stay at Kansas. Same thing with RJ Davis. They're amazing college players, but there's nowhere great for them to go. So they just stay at the great place they're already at.
I agree. Dickinson returning was expected. Honestly, like, I thought Dickinson like had announced and committed like 3 weeks ago. Some of these, I figured that they're already done, but he did officially do it on Friday. And then I think Davis was more wanted to see if he could get a real look at the NBA, and that isn't going to be the case. And so the Consolation prize, though, by the way, is you'll have a great shot at being the all-time leading scorer at one of the best programs in the history of the sport, who also claims Michael Jordan among its alumni. So that's and potential preseasonal like player of the year kind of stuff there. So I would think it's finally getting announced on Tuesday, but those are, you know, they're notable decisions, not all the same, because those two players, and then we didn't have Jani Broome as an All-American, but I think AP All-Americans returning are Davis, who was a first-teamer, and then Dickinson and Broome, I think, were third-teamers AP. So those are big names, and, you know, it's in important returnees, and they just, Dickinson was official on Friday, and I think Davis will be official here on Tuesday.
Yeah, and like those developments, expected as they might have been, still like have an impact on national rankings. I've got Kansas number one with Hunter Dickinson back, Houston at number two, North Carolina at number three with RJ Davis back, and then UConn at number four, projected Alex Karabin back. But like we mentioned earlier, we'll let him make his own decision.
And
we'll,
yeah, I'll give you, by the way, the expectation here is, yeah, Brea's like committed to Kentucky, but I don't know when that's getting. That's, if you wanted it, that's what I said that earlier on the show, but it looks like, you know, maybe privately that decision got made, and we'll see if it gets announced here in the next.
Well, congratulations to him. I'm happy for that young man.
That's a big piece. I mean, it is.
Oh, he is, at some point during March Madness, we had a segment where Wally Szczerbiak was doing his five favorite flamethrowers in college basketball. And it was just a list and it was fine. But like our job was like, okay, after he does his five, who did he leave off? Give him hell. And I went with Kobe Brea as, you know, former master of ceremonies, Atlantic 10 media luncheon pre-pandemic. Very familiar with Kobe Brea. And you're looking at a man who has done countless 30-minute A-10 preview shows, all right, on CBS Sports Network. Very familiar with I love him. I think he's terrific. Shooting, you see it with UNC as well. They add Kate Tyson from Belmont. Yep. Shooting has been prioritized in this transfer portal. And as I wrote the other day, not all coaches, not all, but some are starting to realize that roster building isn't just taking as many talented dudes as you can find and bringing them to campus. Improve weaknesses, make sure the pieces fit. And I think what you're seeing as it pertains to people prioritizing prospects like Kate Tyson and Kobe Brea, shooting is more of a priority than it's ever been, and wisely so.
No, absolutely. I think that's a Tuesday show, GP.
That is a Tuesday show. Let's get out of here. I got other things to do. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry Teagle. He's a legend. Huck Larnell, thank you guys once again for listening, watching the Iron College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify, more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected in the comments. And we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yo, what's up, Lollapalooza?
It was meant to be a farewell concert, but it changed the music industry forever.
We gotta do it again.
And launched the careers of countless artists.
We had all been underground bands, but that was changing.
All while giving the mainstream the middle finger.
That's entertainment.
Don't miss this three-part docuseries that was 30 years in the making. Lala, the story of Lollapalooza. New docuseries now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.